Thank you, David. The children are dismissed for Children's Church. Let's pray together as we start. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are concerned about our hearts. And this passage is going to speak about that, our hearts. Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be prepared for the work of your Spirit today as we read the manna from heaven that you've given to us for this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. This is a continuing paragraph in the Greek text, and so we're following along with the way the Apostle John separated his thoughts for us. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Well, this is certainly a fantastic passage, and it's the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in this book. And it's neat that it's tied in with our hearts, that the Spirit is going to do something in our hearts today, promises to do something in our hearts throughout our walks with him, but especially today as we read through this passage. You know, Jesus said once, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." I'd like for you to just take a second and try to define in your own minds what Jesus was saying there. It's in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Sometimes in our culture, we get the wrong idea about that. And we think, oh, that means that God's going to give me a lot of green stuff, maybe. Or I'm always going to be healthy. And you know what? Doesn't really talk about that. And we'll see that that's not really mentioned anywhere in the verses that follow the passage that we read or this passage that we read today. But we'll see, we'll talk about that. What's it mean that God is going to bless us as we hear the word of God and we obey it? So it's written to Christians, this passage. It's written to us so that we might experience God's blessing, that we might know it. You know, every child has a basic need to feel assured of his parents' love. And I saw that with my grandson on Friday. When I held him, it was one thing. But boy, when his mom came down, he just really relaxed and it just went limp in her arms. He knew that his mom loved him. He didn't know about this big guy with glasses that had a hold of him. But John wants to make sure that we know this. And he tells us this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. That is the message that we heard from the beginning. Of all the people who told us about Christ, that God loves us, and therefore we gotta love one another. We gotta do it. It's something he requires of us. And as we read through 1 John chapter 3, we're going to see contrasts. You know, things that don't normally stand up against each other, but they're contrast, so that we might notice what he's teaching. We're going to see that hatred is the way of Cain, while love is the example of Abel. That's contrast. Love is self-giving. Hatred is self-centeredness. Hatred comes from the devil. While love, we're talking about agape love all the way through this passage, agape love, God's love, is only from God. Hatred results in destruction and death. While love, I'm talking again, agape love, God's love, brings help, healing, and life to people. John, in this passage, stresses the importance of doing God's love, God's way, deeds of actions or words. You know, when God's love through us becomes active, it does some important things, not only for the people we're trying to help, but it also does some very important things for us too. And that's what the blessing here is talking about. The blessings that we receive when we obey God. We're not doing this stuff in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian. We're doing these things because we are Christians. And God is blessing us as a result of obeying him. So as I looked at these verses, I found four wonderful benefits of walking in the light. Four wonderful benefits of walking in the light. And there are others too. You read the Bible further, you'll find out there are other benefits of walking in the light besides just the ones that John mentions here. But we'll look at these four today. The first one is assurance that we are in the truth. Assurance. Look at verses 19 and through 20. And this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. John starts out by mentioning in verse 19, this then, in the NIV, he's referring back to verses 17 and 18. If you have the NASV, it says, by this, or the King James, it says, and hereby, it says this. So these verses follow what is mentioned in verses 17 and 18, and says in verses 17 and 18, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us love not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. What is on the inside of us, what is truly on the inside of us, should be coming out in practical acts of love, laying down our lives for other people, just like Jesus laid down his life for us. It's present tense, so it's a constant thing that should be true about our lives, constantly laying down our lives for other people. By those practical acts of love, as Christ loved us, we demonstrate this new nature that has been given to us from above. And we don't understand this totally, but in the future, we'll know it completely. But what happens when we don't take the steps that Abel took? We take steps in Cain's direction. And our heart and our conscience starts to condemn us or accuse us. How do we set our hearts at rest? How do we do that? It's a heart problem then, isn't it? Our hearts are bothering us. Our conscience is bothering us. You can translate heart here as conscience. Your conscience starts to bother you when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Well, it's simple. 1 John 1:9 says we confess these things. We confess these things to God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us these things and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word here is he sets our hearts at rest in the NIV. And literally that is he persuades our heart, or he tranquilizes our hearts. You know, it's like that little pill they used to give people, you know, to make them calm. Tranquilizers. He tranquilizes our hearts because he knows how we truly are, that we truly belong to him, and that our hearts do not need to condemn us when we fail. And assurance when we receive that forgiveness comes from him. Now, once a young man came to a preacher, and this guy was struggling with alcoholism, and he said, "You know, I've prayed about this." And the preacher listened to him and said, "Pray some more." The man said, "Well, I just don't feel like I have any assurance at all. I failed him so. I failed my Savior so." And the preacher said to him, "God knows your heart. The way you were talking to me, I believe that you are sincere. And I believe that you mean business. I know that God is going to deliver you from this. Of course, you don't have any assurance because you failed him. But he is greater than your heart. And he knows you. He knows that you are sincere. He will give you the assurance that you are in the truth." Sometimes feelings follow actions, don't they? We have to take those steps to do what's right, and then the feelings come later, even if we don't feel it at the beginning. First benefit we receive as walking in the light is assurance. Assurance. The second blessing, second benefit of walking in the light is confidence before God in prayer. Confidence before God in prayer. We see this in verses 21 and 22. "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him." Confidence means boldness or freedom to speak. And in ancient Greece, it stood for the valued right of a citizen in a free state to have the right to speak his mind, unhampered by fear or by shame. Those who are guilt-ridden, we know, will flee from the presence of God. But those who have peace in their hearts will stand naturally in his presence because they know that they belong there. And they're supposed to be there. And God will not withhold from them anything they ask for according to his will, because they obey and constantly do his will, do his commands. They do what pleases him. Our love for God cannot be separated from the effectiveness of our prayers. If we want God to hear our prayers, then we got to obey him. We got to do what he says. The great secret of answered prayer is obedience. Now, this week I was praying with one of my prayer partners. His name is Dwayne. And really kind of shared his testimony a little bit with me. And he said, "You know, this whole Christian stuff, I was kind of new to it. I kind of followed my wife around for a while. You know, she just loved on people. She told me about Jesus. And I came to know Jesus too. But still, I kind of followed her lead for a while. And he said, you know, there was something that happened to us in the early 1990s. He said, right across the street from our house, they put up this strip joint. I thought, oh, what are we going to do? So he and his wife began to pray. And they would go outside and they would stand in front of this place and they would pray in front of that place. And they would go down to the mayor's office and say, this cannot be. And they would pray at the mayor's office. And they went to their Sunday school class, and their whole Sunday school class prayed about this for a long time. And guess what happened? God shut down that place. It's not a strip joint anymore. You know what's there? A church. The church is there today. They began praying. God answered. God provided confidence through obedience to his will. It was clear what his will was. God gives us assurance when we walk in the light. God gives us confidence in prayer when we walk in the light. The third thing, the third benefit of walking the life is belief. Believing the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. We see that in verse 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. There's no in this verse. You know, it says in NIV here, it says, believe in Jesus Christ. There is no in the original. It's believe the name of his Son. It's speaking about knowing, believing, trusting Christ's character, his reputation. And believe here is in the aorist tense. It's a point of time in the past. It's past tense. When we came to know Christ, that's involved in that. Believing, that's a completed action. But it's also a repeated action, repeated decisive action in which we count on God's purpose in our lives at various times in our lives as we walk in the light. We believe Jesus. He builds his faith in us. He builds his belief in us as we walk with him. We walk and we do whatever is necessary that love demands of us for our neighbors. The two are blended together, believing the name of his Son and loving one another. They're blended together in this verse. Belief is the place to start. We can't do anything till we have done that. And then we can count on his authority, his power. You know, about a week ago, I had a really bad nightmare. Do you ever have a nightmare where it just wakes you up and you're just kind of laying there thinking, this can't be true, this can't be true. God, you know, take these thoughts out of my mind. It can't be true. And the nightmare was this, that Cindy and I had some sort of bad accident, and all of our fingers were cut off, or like one hand, each of us. My left hand, all my fingers were cut off, and all her fingers were cut off one of her hands. I thought, oh, no more Beethoven, no more Bach, no more, all these people, all the music in our house, we're not going to have that anymore. And so in the dream, we were sewing our fingers back on, with one finger. You ever try to sew something with one hand? It's almost impossible. And I thought, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What am I going to learn? All things work together for the good of those who love God. And there's got to be a reason, God, that you allowed this to come into my mind and disturb my sleep. Well, I told Cindy about it, and before she'd go on her walk during the week, I'd say, before you leave, baby, show me those fingers. And we're going to look at each other, and we're going to see we got them. We still got them. And then when she would come back, I'd say, show them to me, and she would show them. And during the week, our dryer broke. And so we called this guy named Jeff, And some of you know who this guy is, and he's an appliance repairman. He's a good guy. And I don't know if he knows Jesus yet. And maybe he does, I don't know. But I've been looking for a way to talk to him about Jesus. And I went down and watched him. Of course, I was pretty helpless. But, you know, he had our gas dryer on, and the drum was turned around. And he stuck his fingers inside of there. And I said, whoa, you know, even I know, don't stick your fingers in there. And he said, oh, I got this. He said, you never guess what? And then I told him about the dream. And he said, you never guess what? My dad didn't have any fingers on his left hand. And my mom's brother didn't have any fingers on his right hand. So when we would have like farm accidents that occurred where they lost all their fingers. So when we'd have a family reunion, we'd have these men that would come together, and we'd have a full set of fingers in our family. But, you know, it just led to opportunity to talk to him about God stuff. And I guess that was the reason for the nightmare that we had. We don't really know, but we believe the name of his son. We believe his character. We believe that we are called to love one another. And he uses a lot of ways to shake us up, doesn't he? Get our attention and give us tools sometimes that we need in order to get these things done. The final benefit of walking in the light is found in verse 24. Blessings of us abiding in him and him in us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. This is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And here it repeats this little word, abide, again in this chapter. You see it all the way through chapter 3, abide. It takes us back to John 15, where Jesus talks about abiding in him. To abide, it means to stay, or to remain, or to be in union with him. Drawing our strength from him and no place else, like the branches of a vine. Being alive and bearing fruit. And this is the first time that John's going to mention the Holy Spirit. And we sang about that already, and we'll sing about it again. But all this is possible. This heart transformation is only possible by the Spirit that he gave us. The Holy Spirit does a lot of stuff in our lives that we don't really notice. We just kind of take it for granted. He verifies in our lives that God abides in us. He empowers us to live righteously. He's the power that we need. It's like dynamite. Dynamite, it's explosive in the way God gives us the strength and power to live for him. He prompts us to love others. You know, that prompting is kind of like that little voice in your head. You know, it's kind of like maybe poking you a little bit. You could poke each other on Facebook. At least you used to be able to poke other people. The Holy Spirit pokes us so we might love one another. He teaches us all truth. He's a great teacher. He convicts us of our sin. It's another thing that's going on with our heart. He tells us, you know, yeah, that was sin. No, that wasn't just a mistake. That just wasn't a weakness. It really was sin, and you need to come to me and repent from that. He comforts us through trials. He's the one who stands alongside of us, and he holds us secure in eternal life. He gives us security that we need. Four wonderful benefits that this passage talks about to Christians about walking in the light. First of all, assurance that we are in the truth. We're there. We're following the right guy. We follow the right book. Assurance in the truth. Secondly, confidence before God in prayer. Knowing that we belong before him. That's the place where he wants us to be. talking with him, sharing with those things with him that we can't resolve, and they're only possibly resolved with his power. Thirdly, believing the name of his son. What a miracle it is when one person trusts Christ. But it's not just a one-time deal. It's growing in our faith, trusting him for bigger and better things through all this life, all the days of this life that we have here. And finally, abiding in him and him in us. That's the fourth benefit of walking in the light. It's really a neat thing to abide in him, to get our strength from him, to trust him, to know that we can do this not because of ourselves, but because of his power that he gives us for our lives. We'll just close with a couple questions today. Are you experiencing the benefits of walking in the light? All the things we talked about today, is that your experience? Are you experiencing these things as you follow Jesus? That's the first question. Secondly, do you feel assured of God's love for you? Whatever's happened, you're still, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you are always one of God's kids. You're always. He doesn't throw you out. He doesn't unadopt you. You're adopted into his family. Do you have assurance that you belong to him, regardless of what's happened? And finally, do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life and make you whole? That's the most important thing that we do for eternity. That'll be the thing that we are most thankful for, is that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the wonderful things that you are doing in our lives as we choose to obey you, as we follow you. Lord, we just pray that help us to realize these things and put the word of God into practice so that we can be seen by you and by others around us that we belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.